This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. So this is part 13 of our series Life with Children. So let's get right into this. Today actually a lot of you message me about the whole relationship between parents and kids and how you can continue to encourage them, teach them Islam, and just overall encourage them to be the best human beings possible in every capacity. And is there something, more things in the Quran that we can look at to help inspire young people, young adults, and our children in our families? And as a matter of fact, there are so many. So today I want to bring your attention to a surah that a lot of us don't think about when we talk about kids. And that's Surah An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa is the fourth chapter of the Quran, and it's actually one of my personal favorite surahs of the entire Quran for many reasons. It's one of the surahs that I've taught several times, and every time I teach it, I feel like I've never taught it in my whole life. It's so comprehensive, and it's just such a beautiful surah. And one of the things that makes Surah An-Nisa so beautiful is literally within the first, I would say maybe 35 to 40 verses. 35 to 40 verses, a large chunk of it is all about kids. It's about protecting young people, protecting the wealth of orphans, protecting orphans, and even protecting the food of orphans. But I want to bring your attention to something really interesting that happens in the surah. And we're going to fast forward to verse number 8 as well as verse number 9. So verse 8 and 9 of Surah An-Nisa, listen to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Then the next verse, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. You know what? I'm going to add the next ayah because it's part of the same discussion. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. So you have verse 8 to 10. So let's go through this because this is going to really help us to gauge our response, our attitude, our approach, and the way that we want to encourage the people in our house, the sons and daughters that we have, to encourage them to develop an identity, an Islamic identity, to be proud of themselves, to be proud in life, all of the wonderful positive things that we want. So, وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ, if they ever are present at a qisma. The word qisma refers to a place where during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, particularly in the Meccan phase, orphans used to gather and people who had large amounts of wealth used to gather in a place. So it was kind of like a wealth center. And what they would do is that they would sit there and discuss who will get what in terms of the additional resources, food and supplies. And they would distribute this stuff for free. So what would happen is that you had orphans, people who were caring for orphans that would show up at these gatherings. But then you also had children that didn't have no guardianship whatsoever. So they were part of this qisma, this gathering, and they were just hoping that they could get something like some leftover supplies, leftover food items, and they would be able to carry with something. They could survive off of that. So Allah says, وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةُ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. So three categories. If who has entered this gathering and who's present at the qisma, they are your relatives, أُولُو الْقُرْبَى. So people that are close to you. So relatives is number one. وَالْيَتَامَى, orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, or just generally people in need. فَارْزُقُوهُمْ. The first thing is Allah says, provide for them. In other words, give them something. So here's our first lesson in terms of our whole tarbiyah and life with children. Basically, at the end of the day, one of the rights that children have over parents, and this is going to be one of our topics as well, as I'm going to go through all the rights, inshallah, that children have over their parents. Like they can demand this stuff from the parents, and it is haram for parents to take this away from their kids. And one of those things is they have the right to be provided for. that they should be able to get the things that in whichever culture or society you live in, that is considered to be the basic needs of a kid, so that they could live a normal life, including whatever exceptions. So if they have special needs or medications and other things, that's all part of normalizing what it is that they need in order to live a normal, healthy life. So what is considered to be normal where I live may be different from where a lot of you live. So just keep that in mind, that culture and what the norms of society varies from place to place. So فَرْزُقُوهُمْ. So this first lesson is that we provide for them the tools that they need, the encouragement they need, the inspiration that they need, in order that they could start to develop some sense of identity. So how do you do that? Well, first and foremost, brothers and sisters, especially the parents, you have to make sure that regardless what age your children are at, so we're talking to young kids, and we're talking to young adults, and even mature adult kids that are still under your responsibility, you must make sure that they have some kind of routine when it comes to Islamic studies. You know, it always boggles my mind that we trust our kids to go to school 7 and 8 hours a day. And when you're in college and university, it could even be longer than that. But to get them to go to one class a week at an Islamic studies program or at the masjid or something, or be part of an organization that could help encourage them and influence them and teach them basic Islamic studies, is always such a challenge. It's such a difficult thing. And sometimes those challenges come from the parents, where they say things like, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on my kids. It's okay. They're good kids. They're studying. They're doing well in school. Or it comes from the kids where I don't have time. I'm overwhelmed. I need to concentrate on school right now. I need to concentrate on my life. I don't need to do that right now. I'm a good person. So it can come from both angles. What this ayah is telling us is that at the end of the day, when it comes to people in need, as long as they are present, give them something. But other than that, the general rule of thumb that we extract from ayat that might seem very specific, that might seem that there's a specific context, there could be. But however, that doesn't relieve the idea or the fact that we could still relate to the verse in our own way. So think of your home with your parents and your children as a qisma, a spiritual type qisma, where your home, you're responsible for these people and you have to provide for them. So your daughter, she says, you know, I want to go to a class. I want to go to a masjid. I want to go enroll in a program. Parents, that is their haqq, that if they want to learn their deen, that we should facilitate that for them. And, you know, facilitating and finding the places with the right programs is a separate challenge by itself, which I will get to in one of these videos, inshallah, how we, in terms of community, leadership, etc., what we have done or not done to contribute to the challenges of trying to encourage young people to develop their identity. We've contributed to that as well, but I'll come to that a little bit later. So that's the first thing, is فَرْزُقُوهُمْ. Make sure that you provide for them. Remember, rizq is not restricted to just monetary things. It's not restricted to materialistic things. It's also that you, words of encouragement is a rizq. When people find strength in words, in presence, that in and of itself is a type of rizq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly does this in the Quran. When Isa alayhi salam was born, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ أَتَانِي الْكِتَابِ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. Do you see how Allah provides for him all the tools that he needs? As soon as he's born, he says, I'm a slave of Allah. أَتَانِي الْكِتَابِ. He gave me the book. وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. And he blessed me to be a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتِ. And he made me blessed wherever I am. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So is the blessing in and of itself, is it just a materialistic thing that Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus, peace be upon, that he had? No. His presence alone was blessed. And that's like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages and inspires people, that even if you have nothing in your hand, the fact that you are alive is blessed enough. So for our families and our children, we've said this before, the fact that you are still here, and you're listening to this and you're able to wake up each and every day, is Allah's way of showing you, you still have time. So we still have time, that if we struggle to provide the tools, resources, and places that our kids need in order to develop that Islamic identity, as long as the first thing, فَرْزُقُوهُمْ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something so remarkable, which is going to take us to the end of this video. Well, listen to how Allah stands up for young people in the Quran. And He says to us, وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ, so those who are in need, whether they be the needy, when it comes to this, make sure that we provide, but also understand that this is the most important thing. If you have struggles in rizq and providing, then here is one thing that we can all do. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, that we say to them words that are ma'roof. So, when we consider single parents, when we consider kids that have been abandoned, or when we even consider maybe orphans that you might be close to, or you might be connected to, or you know of, at the end of the day, maybe to actually step in there and be a source of provision and encouragement might be difficult for some. Because let's face it, you know, there's a lot of pressure on parents to do everything, to be parents, to be their doctors, psychologists, to be their source of inspiration, their coach, their life coach, you name it. Like literally every single profession out there, parents are pressured to at least take part of that and implement it as part of their parenting. And that's just not realistic. It's not possible. It has to give way at some point. And so here, what Allah Azza wa Jalla is doing is actually making it a little bit easier to facilitate our connection with young people. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Just be nice to them. مَعْرُوفًا is a universal standard. It's the universal standard of how we speak and how we treat people in life. Whether that be in marriage, whether that be in families, whether that be in friendships, or just generally speaking, people at large. The word, one word Allah Azza wa Jalla uses in the entire Quran, which is called ma'roof. And ma'roof, as we said, is a universal standard. So an example of that is, I don't get to call my kids idiots. I don't get to call them stupid. I don't get to call them names of animals. I don't get to do that. Because in any culture, in any society, even if it's a habit, just because something is a habit doesn't mean it's culturally acceptable. Because I know some cultures that will call their sons dogs, you know. They will call themselves sons donkeys. I hear that a lot. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's acceptable and okay. Like sometimes we have to at least draw the lines, the boundaries of what kind of cultural influence we want with our children. We have to draw those lines and put limitations on them. So calling our kids names like this is unacceptable in any culture or society. But even having said that it's a habit, at the end of the day, that's what Islam came to do. Islam did not come to eradicate culture as a whole, but it came to clean up all the bad habits in culture, the bad behaviors, the bad things that we say, the bad attitudes. It came to clean up all of that. And this is one of them. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Just be nice to them. And we're talking very specifically about when we're trying to encourage and inspire, which leads me to a side point. Have any of you heard this? Whenever you hear adults, generally speaking, just adults, whether it be at the masjid or maybe even in your homes, that say things like this about young people, they say, oh, our young people, they're so lost. Our young people, they're misguided. Our young people are confused. Our young people need us. Our young people feel neglected. Our young people are frustrated. Our young people are not coming to the masjid. Our young people don't have no pride in their identity. They don't want to study. They. It's almost as if we've categorized and shaped this community of young people as though they were the lost and most misguided group across the globe. Like this group, they've been the less fortunate. We've all been able to have access to all the knowledge and resources and everything else that we need. When we were young, that's why we became, you know, part of the masjid. We became volunteers. We became leaders. But this next generation that we're seeing here, they're in a separate planet. This is a big problem. This narrative is unacceptable. Why do we have to always refer to young people as this deprived group that just can't seem to get things right? That's not the way that we were influenced. That's not the way that I'm sure many of you listening to this were encouraged and inspired to be good people as you matured, as you got married and you grew up and you had your own family. If somebody talked to you that way or referred to you that way, it would be a lifelong memory. It would have psychological effects, mental effects on you, to just know that you were always looked down upon or you were always categorized amongst a group of, you know, sporadic few that were troublemakers. You got thrown into that whole group as well. I'll tell you something, guys. I spent a lot of time with young people, with students, high school students, and college and university students. This is a group that I primarily like to focus on. And I'll tell you something, and this is by far through my connection and my experience with young people. They are incredibly intelligent. Yes, with the exception of some that come in there and they're in a different world, right? But then at the same time, that's what young people do. So if they're daydreaming, if they don't look like they're interested, well, guess what? That's what young people are. That's how they are and that's how they behave. What you have to do now as an instructor is you have to be creative and find different ways that you can take your message and refine it in such a way that it's relatable now to young people. You know, people say to me all the time, oh, you relate so much to young people. No, I don't. I just love being around them and inspiring them, and teaching them and encouraging them. I love being there for them. And that's all that it took. I'm not an expert in terms of, you know, dealing with high schoolers and college and uni students. I've never got any formal training. I read one book about counseling for dummies. That's what I read. And that was it. I just have a heart that I want to see the best for these people. And when you come to particularly young people with a good heart, they open up their hearts to you. And this is a very famous statement amongst the scholars that when you speak from your heart, you impact the hearts of the listeners. So it's about really at the end of the day, wanting the best with whatever Allah blessed you with. And Allah is saying that if you have nothing, there is one thing that you are always rich with, and that is, وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Just be nice and talk to them in a nice way. Treat them like human beings. Again, this can go on and on about how we refer to young people, but how they're treated when they come to our masajid. When they come to our masajid and our institutes, maybe the first thing that we do is we hand them a broom, or we tell them, go grab the vacuum, or come take the garbage out, or, oh, you're here, we need volunteers. It seems like their roles in masajid have also been very specific. And this is just not the right way to do things. This is not the standard that our masajid should be operating. If we want people, especially young people, to feel empowered, then we have to empower them with things. And I'm not saying just open the whole bank account and say, okay, guys, you need funding, here we go. Assalamu alaikum, make us proud. No. They also need guidance. They also need rules. They also need people to teach them and encourage them and direct them in the right way. But they need to be part of that journey. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues, and this is where I'll conclude. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. If you're afraid that you're going to leave off behind them children that are weak, and you're afraid for them. So in other words, at this qisma, at the end of the day when everybody gets a share, but you're still fearful that there are other kids out there that don't have any support, you know, side point, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays attention to young people. These are orphans, but they're kids at the end of the day. They're young people at the end of the day. Allah's already telling us to make sure that we give them the tools and the resources so that they can develop themselves. Then Allah says, if you can't do that, then at least the bare minimum is you got to treat them like human beings. Be nice to them, say words of encouragement to them. Don't always come across as a superior figure above and over them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, and by the way, if you're fearful that there are any other children that have been left behind, فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Allah just finished talking about kids and then He tells us to have taqwa of Him. Taqwa we usually are told ittaqullah immediately after ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. So our iman is usually connected directly to consciousness of Allah. This conversation, how you treat children, is directly connected to your taqwa with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the more that we mistreat young people in whatever capacity, and we do it intentionally or carelessly, that's a reflection of taqwa. It means that you have weak taqwa. Whether you're a parent, whether you're an administrator, or just an average layman person, you're connected to young people in some way, shape, or form. But if you're not at least kind and don't have a good heart when you're around them, Allah is telling us here, you have weak taqwa. And then Allah tells us how to repair it. And make sure that you say words that don't have any holes in them. Sadida, saddun, is like when you're trying to patch up a hole. Right? So there's a hole in a wall and you patch it up. So Allah is saying, وَلْيَقُولُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Make sure that your words are clear, that they don't have any flaws, any holes. In other words, don't speak and then, you know, you have like these hidden agendas in your speech. Be direct, be straightforward, be very clear and explicit. Don't have any ambiguity in your speech, especially when you're dealing with young people, because they can see through that. And even if they don't see through that, depending on how young they are, they depend on your guidance. So if you're not telling them or speaking to them directly, then they're going to just take your word for it. So that's really important. وَلْيَتَّقُ اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَّقُ اللَّهِ وَلْيَقُولُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And finally, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا. Anybody who eats the wealth of a orphan and they do this wrongfully, إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. They are actually eating that wealth within their stomachs. And their stomachs now will burst into a fire. In other words, it's as if they're taking in this food, whatever it is that they purchased, and they wrongfully took the wealth of orphans. So they're stealing money, but they're doing it for themselves. Allah is saying, it's as if you're sitting there eating fire. And they will eventually come to the pits of the fire. Here's the thing, guys. The wealth of orphans is the most sacred wealth in the entire Quran. There is no other category of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this strict about in terms of their wealth than the orphans. No other category of people did Allah ever say, if you take their wealth, it's as if you're eating from the fire of the hellfire. Only orphans Allah gave that explicit imagery and warning about. Again, do you see how firm and how strict Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is standing up for young people, especially the most vulnerable, the ones who don't have guardians, they don't have guardianship with them? Allah protects them, protects their money, protects their food, protects their wealth, and also protects how people speak and treat them. Subhanallah. So, for the parents here that are listening, this is again another stark reminder that at the end of the day, I know we all want good for our kids. But sometimes if you find yourself that you want the best for your kids, but you're not seeing it, you're doing everything that you can, but you're not seeing those results, then maybe these are the kinds of verses that might indicate maybe it's not what you're doing, but perhaps what you're saying and how you're saying it could actually be the whole reason why your kids are not listening to you. They're not feeling what you have to say. They're not into the whole idea of, yeah, going to the masjid and praying. Every time I get tired, and I saw this, and I see this every single year in Ramadan, when a young kid who's not even baligh, he's not even mature enough to be in salah, Allah doesn't even command a child that young to be in prayer. But I understand that as parents, we want to encourage our kids. So we want them to stand beside us, and we want them to be with us, and all of that sort of thing. And I saw this with my own eyes. Very rare, but I've seen it, and I'm sure many of you have seen it as well. Like if a kid moves around too much, you know, the dad will just kind of, you know, pat him on the head or slap him on the head. And the poor kid is like fearful that, oh my God, I gotta make sure I concentrate in prayer or else I'll get another hit on my head. That's not how we introduce Islam. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, never like punched anybody and said, hey, you gotta pray, and you gotta pray nicely. As a matter of fact, when he saw people praying carelessly or they made tons of mistakes, what does he do? He comes back and he tells them, look, go and repeat the prayer again. Okay, look, this is what you need to fix. He just talks to them. He doesn't say, what's wrong with you? Is that how I taught you? Is that how you behave in my masjid? He doesn't do any of that. So why do some parents do that? Right? This is a reflection of the lack of patience and tolerance and willingness to just stick by their side and just support that journey. It's not an easy journey. A lot of religion in general is all about self-discovery. You have to experience it in a very personal way. And in order to do that, you need a good supportive cast. The best support is the family. So with that being said, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to inspire us with these beautiful words and encouragement from the Quran. And again, today it was all about how we speak and how we treat young people and the narrative behind that young people are this deprived group that are so messed up, lazy, don't care about nothing, don't care about life. I think we should stop saying that and only say those things specifically where they apply. But to just kind of generically paint the same narrative across the board with all young people in general, the smart ones, the brilliant ones, the thinkers, the ones who actually want to aspire to be better, they don't deserve that. And that's what I want to encourage all of us, inshallah, to think about and perhaps maybe share this conversation with somebody in the community and spark some conversation so that we can improve our approach and the way that we treat and speak to young people, particularly those within our communities. And so with that being said, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects our sons and our daughters. May Allah azza wa jal bless all of them, inspire them to be true leaders of this world, true leaders of their deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward, honor, and protect the mothers and fathers that are doing their best, trying their best to encourage and influence to within their capacity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and give you the highest levels of Jannah. Allahumma ameen. So with that being said, everybody, Jazakumullahu khairan. Again, always at the end of each of these installments, I encourage all of you that if you're not doing this already, watch this with your family. Bring the kids, bring your sons and daughters, and just sit there, sit around the TV or the screen and just watch this. And I hope and I pray that it's a source of encouragement and inspiration for all of you. Okay, guys, Jazakallahu khairan. Take care, and I'll see you again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.